AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of No Reserves Radio. Here with me, as always, is Alex. And Alex, this is the worst day. This is the saddest day. One of the best quarterbacks in the NFL retired today.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Yeah, apparently, I didn't get the news, but, apparently someone good retired. I heard that a certain bum QB, average at best QB, retired, last week, and Derek Carr, but apparently, someone else a bit better retired? Who was it, Angelo?
Derek Carr. First ballot Hall of Famer, Derek Carr.
Oh, first ballot Mid of Famer. Okay.
Yeah.
The infamous first ballot Mid Famer. That's always the Hall of Mid, as they call it as well.
I do think that, there's going to be this weird case, and I think Baker is going to be a much stronger case than Derek Carr, but I think the fact that he got the Raiders to the playoffs is going to be a huge talking point, and I think the fact that Baker got the Browns to the playoffs is also going to be a huge talking point when he retires.
Oh, the moment we put into the conversation, I can understand Philip Rivers. He went to a Super Bowl. He had a very long career for the Chargers. Legend of the game. I understand the argument. I don't agree with it. I don't think he should be at least a first ballot Hall of Famer. Same thing for Matt Ryan, for example.
Matt Ryan?
Don't think first ballot, because he won the MVP, got to Super Bowl. So I think those things are Hall of Fame good. I don't think it's first ballot Hall of Fame good. That's how I'd put it. The moment we start making an argument for Derek Carr, what are we even doing? He got the Raiders to the playoffs? That's your argument? In a year, he got the Raiders to the playoffs. He has been average at best for, 10 years. But 1 year, he got the Raiders to the playoffs. So he should be in the Hall of Fame. Is that the argument we're going with, Angelo?
I mean, to be fair, I think getting the Browns to the playoffs was more impressive on Baker's end.
Well, yes. But Baker also has multiple play, although I don't think it's first ballot Hall of Famer, even in the first, I don't know, three attempts, I don't think what he has done so far is Hall of Fame worthy, because Hall of Fame should be the be-all and all. It's not like the WWE Hall of Fame, in which guys get a celebrity match and you're in the Hall of Fame. No. I want success, long-term success. I want Super Bowl appearances at least. An MVP goes well for that as well. Super Bowl wins go well for that as well. Now, don't tell me your argument to making the be-all end-all spot of that every player wants to achieve the Hall of Fame is that you got a team to the playoffs once. Come on now.
A poverty franchise into the playoffs.
It doesn't matter what the franchise is, Angelo.
Tell that to Justin Fields.
Yeah, that's all of mid-worthy. If Derek Carr is in, Justin Fields is going to be, closely behind, I guess.
Closely behind. I'm just sad.
The only thing that is missing to Derek Carr is that one season in which he got the team to the playoffs.
He basically saved the Saints' budget by retiring.
Yes, it's a great move for him. The Saints are going to be appreciative of him. I guess that's another point in his favor for the Hall of Fame. When you don't really have any other achievement to write home about, I guess that's the most that you're going to get. Is that I saved the team money and I got a team into the playoffs. Do you really think he's Hall of Fame worthy, Angelo? After all that we said.
Probably not, no.
Okay, perfect. I got you to see a bit of the light. That's good. That's an improvement right now.
I'm going to get you to see the light later in the show. I'm going to get you to admit one of your sons is not as good as you think he is.
We'll see about that. In other news, now that Derek Carr retired, who is it going to be, Angelo? For the Saints.
I don't think it quite matters. I think, unfortunately for me, I think the Saints are starting to become the new poverty franchise of the NFL, and they're going to ruin Chris Olave's career.
Chris Olave, apparently the Steelers want to trade for Chris Olave right now.
The Steelers did?
Yeah. They are looking for a trade.
Yeah, I could see that. Someone save Chris Olave. Anything's better than the Saints right now.
I don't think you know who's currently QBing the Steelers.
I don't think the Steelers know who's currently.
Yeah, that's also a very fair point. I really don't think they know. So I don't necessarily think that's a good move for Olave. But right now you have an interesting QB duel in there. You have Spencer Rattler, last year's fifth round pick. He got to start a few games while Derek Carr was down and hurt. Did not look the best. He had times in there in which he looked halfway decent. He's a former fifth-round pick. He had hype before. Like, he was in the Heisman talk earlier in his collegiate career. Things didn't go the best for him. And now he's actually in a solid position to be the starter. But they also have the 30-year-old Tyler Tyler So-and-So in that mid-QB competition. It's the 27-year-old rookie or the 26-year-old rookie. That's apparently going to be like the saving grace for him. I think it's So. Let's call him So.
Say it's 27.
But... Tyler Co.
Ah, this is great. Alex tries to say a name.
Yeah, these names are quite tricky for me. Let's call him just Tyler. Tyler, the 26-year-old QB. Who do you think is going to come out ahead in this QB competition? Is it going to be like the second round guy who has a ton of collegiate experience under his belt, but never really did a whole lot until he was like father of every single kid in there in that football match?
What do you think the Saints' plan actually was? If like, do you think they were hoping for Derek Carr to retire? Do you think they were hoping that Derek Carr played another year so that he could helm the position one more year?
Wait, what did you say? You cut off a bit there for me.
Oh, sorry. What do you think the Saints were hoping for, and what do you think they were planning for behind the scenes? Do you think they were hoping for Derek Carr to stay, Derek Carr be retired, or... is being in this messy-ass situation kind of what was the good outcome so that they can be in position to draft a quarterback next year? Because they didn't even bother signing a... Well, they didn't really have money to sign people, but they didn't even bother signing a veteran.
I think the idea here was just like, okay, we don't think any QB in this class is actually good enough to be a long-term solution for the problem. So let's avoid them until when did they draft this guy? In the second round. Let's not waste a first round pick on any guy. Let's wait for the second round, take a prospect there, see how he does. If Carr is back, okay, he's back, great. If he's not back, let's run with one of these guys. We need a year and we basically just take it down a notch and we accept that we're not that good. And this way we are still somewhat excited. We still can get butts in the seats because we have a rookie QB that people will want to see. Let's try and do that. And now next year we can look at the QB class, because now we're going to have certainty on what Derek Carr is going to do. We're going to have certainty on the young guys. So the Saints are just following your route, apparently, Angelo.
Apparently.
Yeah, I think it's a solid plan. None of these guys, outside of Cam Ward, and even Cam Ward.
It's a solid plan.
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
I guess the only change that I would make to the plan is I wouldn't use like a second round pick on this guy. I would use maybe like, I don't know, a third or fourth round pick on whoever they would bring in at QB. To keep the high leverage pick, draft players that are probably going to be good for your future and not just like dart throws or whatever. So that's like the one big change here. But outside of that, I think it's a solid plan. You're basically like, the roster wasn't good enough. You didn't really add clarity on what Derek Carr was going to do. And this way, you get like everything. Like, you get to take on a huge chunk of the cap space this year. Derek Carr is off the books as well. That's nice for this year and the future. And now you get to figure out if you have anything with the young guys. So why do you think this was not a good plan?
Because they're basically admitting to mediocrity. They're basically admitting to tanking. You know, one of the things that... Well, I'll bring this back to fantasy. I said your team was deteriorating, and this is, like, one of those instances. So, like, what do you expect from an Alvin Kamara? What do you expect from a Chris Olave? What do you expect from the Saints just in general? Like, do you... If they won two games, would that be a win to you? Is it, that's kind of the state of this roster right now. And I think that...
Go ahead. Finish up.
And I think that any plan which has you realistically looking in and saying, wow, if we get to three wins, that's a good outcome, is a shit plan, and you should have scrapped that for a while ago.
So the thing with the Saints, there's two ways you can be shitty in the NFL, I guess. You can be shitty and be like, for example, let's say the Steelers, the defense doesn't come back as strong as they have been the last few years, and they come out and they get Aaron Rodgers, and they are a shitty team because the offensive line isn't great, because the weapons right now, it's like basically what they had last year, which is still a deficiency. In their second wide receiver, since they traded George Pickens to the Cowboys. The running back, okay, the running back is fine. I don't think it's Caleb Johnson isn't like a world beater, but I think he's a fine player. And the defense, if it takes a nose down, you're basically like, you're going to be a quite average to bad team. And you won't really have anything to look for. Like, you won't have an exciting QB to put butts into seats. You won't have, like, an exciting star player on offense to get butts into seats. So you're just going to be like, so attendance poverty is probably... Yes. Poverty franchise. But the attendance is always going... It's also going to be low. Okay, of course, not for the Steelers, because the Steelers are the Steelers. They always put butts into seats. They have a very loyal fan base. But if any other team would go in a route like that, you wouldn't put butts into seats. You would have a mediocre season. And this way with the Saints, I think they take a shot at a guy that could be exciting. But people could pay money to go see at least this guy play, at least at the first. And then they also have Spencer Rattler, who can also put some butts into seats. He's a big name. So I think they're going with the, we can be mediocre, but let's not just completely ruin our attendance. Let's not be like last year's Giants, for example, in which like you could get tickets for like $10 at the start of the of Sunday, and the stadium would be like not even half full. So I think that's kind of the route that they're gonna do. They still have some exciting players in the team, both on offense and on defense. They are just basically admitting that right now the roster isn't good enough. Let's not waste any more resources that we don't need to into this one. Let's try and draft for the future, get a guy that could maybe be the solution, and we will assess next year. I don't think that's such a bad idea for them.
I'm not going to lie, I don't even think they should have went with the quarterback in the second.
As I said, that's the one thing that I would change.
at this point in the if this is the process, you need to be drafting people with like some shelf life or who's going to help entice people to come, like offensive line and defensive line, because like, and this might go back to Tom Brady, but the reason Tom Brady chose Tampa Bay is because they had a very good defensive front. What happened after they signed Tom Brady? They drafted the best tackle in that draft class, and they focused on the offensive line. These are the things that, like, good players...
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Look for. So, and.
Yeah, but the wrong thing, the 100% wrong thing that you don't do is that you reach for the QB. And they didn't do that. They, at least in the first. They went with the second round. I can't understand that. If they really had him at the top of his board and it wasn't just a reach because he plays the QB position, I can understand that. I would rather have them do that in the fourth or third round because I don't believe this draft plans. But they didn't effort. They need to basically stay true to their board and whatnot. So if someone in that room, either the coach or one of their main scouts, believed in this dude, I can't get behind it because they drafted him in the second round, and in the first, they got a player for that scenario. They got a player to build up on the Saints roster, to build up on the team, to maybe lure one of those QB free agents next year, or to help the team be better for when they get their heir apparent to Drew Brees, because they're still looking for the heir apparent to Drew Brees. So, I don't think it's all that bad. Could have been better, as you said, and I agree. They shouldn't have gone with the guy in the second, but I don't think it's a bad choice.
I just think this is the new poverty franchise.
No believe in your Saints, man. Come on now.
They're so bad they forced Derek Carr into retirement.
Derek Carr just thinks, buddy. Just it was time to hang the boots. Time to call it quits. That's over. That's all she wrote. The writing was on the wall.
You know, Smith still gets to be a starting quarterback.
Hey. And he got paid massively, so that's fun.
He did get paid. Not for the Seahawks, but he did get paid.
Well, the Seahawks paid another guy. A younger guy. Some say a better guy.
Yeah, some can say that. I'm not sure if that's right, but some can say that.
Alright, after that, you had the George Pickens trade to the Dallas Cowboys. That's really not going to work, is it?
I mean, yeah, probably. Like, I don't know why, but... Well, no, I do know why. It's because Jerry Jones is also cooking for Cocoa Puffs. But the diva wide receivers seem to, like, produce in Dallas. So... No. Like, I wouldn't be opposed to acquiring George Pickens for a season. I'm not sure, you know, what the shelf life is going to be on that before we get a situation where... He obliterates the locker room, but, you know, it's going to be nice while he's performing out there.
On the diva wide receiver in Dallas, I do wonder, like, we know that some diva wide receivers in the past have worked out in Dallas because it's a big market, it's a big team, a very, very noticeable team. But I don't remember the last diva wide receiver that went to Dallas and wasn't wide receiver one. So how is he going to answer to that?
Good question.
When he's not getting the targets because CeeDee Lamb is a better wide receiver than him, so he's getting the targets, what's going to happen? that's going to be an interesting thing. Is he going to be throwing a tantrum? Like, first time that he isn't getting the ball when he thinks he should be getting the ball. Is he going to throw a tantrum when he is old to, like, two catches for 20 yards? And CeeDee Lamb is, like, 11 for 180.
I think you hope Dak Prescott is good enough that he facilitates both wide receivers. I don't think... Like, yeah, CD's going to get more targets. I don't think it needs to be egregiously more. I don't think we need a situation like we had where CD was getting 11, 12 targets, and then the next person was getting 4 or 5. Like...
We're probably right. But I don't know, man. There's...
pessimistic with this.
There's a lot of things in that offense. They also have the tight ends in Tony Ferguson. They also have the Jalen Tolbert, who came out quite well last year. He was playing in his second year. He was playing quite well. They also have the running backs, which they've added Jamonte Williams. They added one through the draft as well. They added another guy, that Miles Sanders, I believe. So, I don't know. Maybe it all works out in the end, but...
I think that Dallas is kind of, especially since they got rid of Tony Pollard and they got rid of Zeke Elliott, Dallas has kind of accepted this identity that they're more of a passing team and less of a running team. Because, yeah, they invested money into the position, but would you call signing Javonte Williams and Miles Sanders investing in the position that you're going to use heavily? No. I think
don't believe
that,
so.
I think that Dallas understands that they need someone who can get short yardage runs for first and key, like, third downs and red zones. But I think the days of Dallas running it 30, 40 times a game, though, that's done, dude. They're going to be passing it. It's going to be a lot more pass heavy. They're going to rely on Dak. They signed Dak to his deal. They're paying Dak. They are going to let Dak win and lose them the games. And I do think, you know, you can make fun of Jerry Jones and the Cowboys for a lot of things. I do think that was one of the best decisions Dallas has made, is this is our guy. We are going to give him the weapons. We are going to let him dictate outcomes. We are not going to protect him. We are not going to play safe. And we're going to let the results be what the results be, and then we're going to go from there. I think that's something I would do. That is a smart decision.
But it also all kind of becomes pointless when they hire the very, how do I put it, a very underwhelming head coach.
Yeah. The nepotism head coaching in Dallas.
The nepotism with Brian Schottenheimer. And I did experience Brian Schottenheimer in first person. It's not a pleasant experience. He is going to be a guy that overcomplicates things. He's going to be a guy that runs the ball quite a bit. And he's going to be one of those guys that has very little football awareness in terms of what plays to call. And it's going to be like a 3rd and 10, and he's going to call it 2-yard screen. And that's not going to work well for guys like George Pickens, who are going to be pissed off at those decisions. So I'm kind of wondering, like, is this going to be, did they just spend another 2nd-round pick or 3rd-round pick, that is, on a guy that is going to be like the, Jonathan Mango? That they got last
Jonathan
year.
Jonathan Mingo deal, I think, is way more egregious than this deal.
For sure. Didn't they pay more for Jonathan Mingo? And they paid for George Pickens? Or the same, yeah. That's just kind of insane. Like, one guy is... I was actually not sure if it wasn't a second, but a 3rd makes... Even Dallas couldn't be so dumb, right? Yeah, no, it was actually a 4th-round pick.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a 3rd. Okay.
It was a 4th, and they got Jonathan Mingo and a 7. But yeah, not the best trade from good old Jerry there. Yeah, kind of not sure if that's not going to be like a one-year rental, basically. Okay, other news. Don't really... There were a whole lot of other news outside of one that came out yesterday or the day prior about Caleb Williams. Did you see the Caleb Williams news?
No. Tell me about Caleb Williams, buddy.
Okay, so
standard two quarterback in the NFL.
So a story came out, or a book, should I say? It's not written by Caleb Williams or anyone associated to Caleb Williams in terms of family and whatnot. It is a book written, as far as I understand it. It is a book written by someone that was near the Caleb Williams family around the time of the draft last year. So, amongst other things, like the main takeaways were that Caleb Williams as a family was looking for ways that they could circumvent the NFL draft to avoid the Chicago Bears and go through a year at the UFL so they could avoid the Bears. That feels absolutely bananas, dude.
Justified.
They go on and they said that basically, Caleb had issues, not really issues, but he was worried about going to the Bears. And he shared those worries with his dad. And dad was also quite worried because that's like QB's goes to die. And I believe that's the right quote for him, is that. So then he basically proposes to Caleb to go scorched earth on the Bears, like Elway, for example, did back when he was drafted, to avoid being drafted by, I believe it was the Colts, if not mistaken. So, like, he proposed that to Caleb, but Caleb didn't really want to cross that bridge and just basically, like, dump all over Chicago, because Ryan Poles told him, whatever you do, we're drafting you at one. Doesn't matter if you say we're the worst town ever. Whatever you do, you're getting drafted at one, buddy. So get ready to learn in Chicago. And Caleb basically said, okay, no, I don't want to burn those bridges. But the main thing that Caleb didn't really like about Chicago was when he interviewed with Shane Waldron. Didn't like Shane Waldron whatsoever. So he's one of mine. Hating Shane Waldron is a very understandable thing. He didn't think Shane Waldron understood him or understood the type of offense that he could be in. But when he visited the facilities, he liked the Bears facilities and whatnot. So the main issue was just that. So eventually they, after visiting the facilities, talking with the ownership, they sort of accepted that he was going to go to the Bears. He went to the Bears, but when he was studying film, he would text his dad that no one was there with him to watch film and no one would help him when he had any sort of questions about what he should be doing when this happens or that happens, what he should be doing when he sees this or that. Like, no one was there to help him, or no one was even there to make any sort of comment about it. Like, he would watch film by his own.
So you're telling me, time out. So the Bears organization, you know, you lambasted Justin Fields for half a decade, because you feel like Justin Fields didn't make as enough improvement from year one to year three, year over year over year. And now you're finding out that it's not the same coaching staff anymore, but people in the Bears organization that they hired either don't study film, don't know how to recognize film, don't know how to give advice on a young quarterback on how to like read film and take lessons from film. You're telling me the organization that saw their quarterback basically stagnate for 3 years, even though he was raw and at even said it during the draft, you need to go to somewhere where he could sit a year or learn a year. But regardless, that organization doesn't prioritize answering questions for rookies about the results that are happening on the field.
Apparently they don't.
Shocker.
Absolute shocker, right? The thing with Fields is he also went to a whole nother organization and he still didn't have any sort of success, so kind of a mute point. But yeah, not the best look for Chicago. Like, if you have this one guy that is very much against going to your team because he is very like reserved about going to that team due to the history that you have with QBs, and you basically just shit all over him and don't really pay any sort of attention to his needs, that doesn't sound like the best way to go about it.
Overall pick in this guy. You invested the number one overall pick in this guy. You're telling me that you can't like shell out for some kind of like trainer? And
when your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Not only that, you're telling me there's not a single person in that building who A, either gives two shits about film and or B, like, wants to better themselves or better the team? Not apparently, one guy? Not
one guy. No one was that interested.
Okay. Now you
so yeah, like, hey, kind of surprising that Caleb Williams did as well as he did last year, despite not doing great. That's still considering this was what he had to work with. Decent outcome last year.
They still invested like $500 million in getting him weapons to succeed.
Well, yeah, kind of like.
So
they need to make up for what they did last year, apparently. So that's the investment coming from.
Get the players, don't get the people to study.
Yeah, that's great. That's just like the best thing ever to do. So that was fun.
Work well for Blake Bortles, let me tell you. Just make sure you got the weapons.
So yeah, now they're making up for it, and they added a bunch of pieces to his offense. They added the best coach available, basically, or the best prospect of a coach available. They got him a bunch of weapons on offense. So let's see if this makes up for it. But basically, like, he lost a year because of those shenanigans.
Yeah, that's the Bears. What do you expect? That's the Bears. I mean, like, bad franchise is gonna bad franchise, I guess.
Oh, that was fun. That was a fun year for him, and that was a fun story that came out.
But don't worry,
yeah.
All their players will still get taxed in fantasy. Don't worry. Oh my god, man. Fucking Bears. Why not? You say the Eagle fans are bad. The Bears fans are like the epitome of Delulu.
And it's also fun that they basically like, because the dude didn't want to go to them. There were a lot of Bears fans shitting on the dude, despite the fact that he was actually right about his concerns. Well, so that's
the organization fun. Is terrible. Yeah.
Yeah, because like they were shitting on him because he didn't want to go there because he said that the organization was where like people QBs would go to die and whatnot. Yeah, like they are pissed at him. Yeah, they're pissed off at him.
Yeah, and they're real fans.
Real fans. But yeah, I think they're gonna have a good season though. Can I just say that?
Like, It's more of, I don't think they can have a bad season. Like, they have too much talent. If they, oh my god, I don't even want to entertain this. If they hover around 500 all season, like, what do you say, Alex? Here's my question. They finish the season 9-8. What do you say?
I guess let's jump into this point. I think there's an argument to be made that their schedule isn't great. If you look at that, I don't think it's great. I mean, they start versus the Vikings, face the Lions, face the Cowboys. Then they have a Raiders, and they have
division games.
Yeah, division games outside of Dallas. Dallas is outside of the division. Then you have the Raiders. Then you have a bye. A bye this early isn't usually great, especially for young teams. Like, they are not necessarily like craving the rest. So a bye later the year would be probably better for them. Then they come off the bye and they have the Commanders. They have the Saints, the Ravens, the Bengals. Like, there's a lot of heavy hitters here. There's like the Vikings again, of course. There's the Eagles. There's the Packers. The Niners as well. So there's a lot of teams that they're going to be facing that should be good, at least. So if they finish the season around 500, I would just say that they have a very difficult schedule, probably.
That's the excuses are crazy, man. Like, no teams get this pass. Like,
wait, Justin Fields used to get it.
So let me explain. Justin Fields is gone. So let me ask you this: if the Packers finished 9-8, was that a failure?
I would have to look at their schedule.
Oh my god! Yes, it is. You can just say yes. Yes, it would be a failure because they have this thing called expectations, Alex. And that's what good teams get. They get expectations. Do you expect the Bengals to be in the playoff hunt? Do you expect the Bengals to make the playoffs? Do you expect the Chiefs? Do you expect the Bills? Do you expect the Ravens?
But as we've seen before...
what, this isn't a good team?
We expected the Bengals to make the playoffs, but did they last year?
No, they failed.
They failed.
They
because
failed.
They had a tough schedule. The defense went to shit. So
yeah,
they failed. Like,
they
sometimes
failed.
It happens.
Thank you.
I don't think judging a player in a team based on like a full season and their records for the season, because
I think a
there's
team is fair. They failed.
I don't know.
Had to spend an offseason bolstering the defense because they failed so hard.
Sure, they failed the first year, but I don't think that should be detrimental. Like, are you expecting them to fail now?
With the Bengals? No.
Yeah. Okay. So, like, if
so
the...
So why are you excusing Bears' failure?
No. I'm saying if the Bears come out and they have a so-and-so season in which they finish around 9-8 or so, I don't think that should detriment us from, like, liking the Bears going forward, because that still shows improvement. They still show that they're growing. It's just a tough schedule. Now, I'm saying if that's the reason why they finish that way, if you tell me they suck, then sure, I'll get behind it. Like, if they had a terrible season, sure, they had a terrible season. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to have around a 9-8 season, I'll put it at that. And I don't think I would be disappointed with it, honestly.
It's just sad. Like,
it's still an improvement over last year.
Oh my god.
Dude. Can we agree with that? Like, isn't that an improvement over last year?
Are you... That's sad.
Plus, with a rookie head coach, which, again, he is probably the hottest head coach they could have gotten. Like, that's the hottest name available.
Oh, yeah.
But it's still a rookie head coach, right?
Because all the other things they had wasn't...
And they have yet another excuse, I guess.
Like, how much investment do you need to see before you expect a result? That's my serious question for you. How much investment do you need to see in a player before you expect results? That's just a question.
I don't know. I guess like what, year three probably. Like after the year three, that is. Like, at the end of year three, I'm getting. He has another year. After this one, that is, of course.
That's just sad.
I think you're being too demanding on them. Are you going to put this expectation on any other first-round QB outside of Daniels?
On any, Alex.
Yes.
Them two are the only ones who are still... So is it a foregone conclusion you think Jaden Daniels is going to compete for a playoff spot, and it would be a failure if he finished 9-8 and missed the playoffs?
It a failure last year for CJ Stroud?
Yes.
And he didn't miss the playoffs even. So yeah, I would say so. Like when you get to the playoffs, when you get Rookie of the Year, when you get like almost to the Super Bowl, I think there's a certain expectation of you.
Yes.
That people will want to hold you on to that. But Caleb didn't have any of that in year one. He struggled.
He was the number one overall pick! He got outshined by someone who was drafted after him.
Yes, I understand, Angelo. And I think that was an issue in and of, it of, him, of itself. But still, we're talking about what he did year one to year two. Like, the amount of expectations that he should have based on what he did the year one. And sometimes you just need to take the draft pick out of it. Like,
it should be expected of him to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I think so. I think it should be expected. But if he misses by like a game, I don't think it should ding him as much. Because again, he has a tough schedule.
I think you're too nice.
You need to be more forgiving, Angelo.
No.
You need to. A 9-8 season isn't terrible. It shows progress. If they miss by a game, they miss by a game. And they still have a bunch of young pieces around them.
It's still a failure.
You are too harsh on these dudes, Angelo. Come on now. I mean, people haven't been this harsh on guys like Trevor Lawrence, for example. And it's like, it's year what now? Five, six? Year five, I guess.
The Jags for the playoffs.
Yeah, but the only reason why he won that game was because he faced the Chargers. And they chargered. So, like, outside of that, what has Trevor Lawrence done? And he got an extension.
Caleb Williams.
Well, yeah, like... If you look at it year by year, after the first year, like, things didn't go great for Trevor Lawrence, right? I think that's fair to say.
Oh, yeah, Trevor Lawrence last year was a failure.
No, I'm saying year one, Trevor Lawrence was a failure as well. Year two, he got slightly better. I believe that's when he went to the playoffs. Then it went to shit again for, like, two consecutive years or three consecutive years, so... I think people need to.
But here's the thing. Here's the Jaguars didn't... They invested as much money as the Bears have invested in Caleb. They didn't invest it nearly the same. The Jaguars' moves have basically all been suspect. We're questioning if the front office is, like, sandbagging Trevor Lawrence at this point. Like... The Jags went out and spent on a wide receiver. That wide receiver was Christian Kirk. They didn't get one of the best wide receivers in the NFL to come play for him. They didn't.
Well, technically, the Bears also didn't get that for Caleb Williams, right? Like, DJ Moore came to play with Justin Fields, and he played the full season with Justin Fields.
And he's still one of the top wide receivers in the NFL. But even then, yes. They signed Keenan Allen, who, again, pretty up there.
Putting it mildly.
So, like, when you invest this, you need results. Like, I hate to say this, but you need to be the Cincinnati Bengals at this point. You need to be scoring a bunch of points. And you need to be, like, if you go 9-8, you need to be praying that's because you're giving up a shit ton of points you shouldn't be giving up. Say it. Say I'm wrong.
I don't know if you're wrong. I just don't have them at the same level right now.
He's the number one overall pick. Why aren't they at the same level?
Well, because one, although Joe Burrow didn't get a DJ Moore, he got maybe a player that was better than that, Jamar Chase. He had the connection as well, so that was very good.
He
didn't
get that his rookie year. He got that his second year.
No. He got that in his second year, sure. But I'm sure that in his first year, at least that's someone to watch film with.
He still had Teagans there in Tyler Board, but yeah, we go on, sorry.
Yes. Yeah, I wasn't even like going with that. I was just like, maybe he had someone to watch film with. That's probably interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's like a requirement that he should have.
Run than the Bengals organization. That is what you think
it's. Well, yeah, but it's still a point. Although it might be a mute point, it's still a point. I don't know, dude. It feels like
Start expecting things out of your first round quarterbacks.
Yes, and I think expecting a 9-8 finish wouldn't be terrible with the schedule. Like, say the offense actually works out quite nicely. And they are playing well on offense. And they miss it because either... Okay, sure. But like... Didn't you have a very good offense last year? Were you in double-digit wins?
No.
Okay. So, see, it is quite possible, right?
Is it possible? Sure. But like I said, it better be because the defense is not.
Gee, so that's all I'm saying. Let's not look at this as a one-size-fits-all. Let's say if he finishes the season 9-8, it's over.
You know,
like, we should pull the plug on this.
Would have to happen. Like, the defense would have to get. Oh my god. I think you're just way too willing to be like, oh yeah, no, this is gonna be a. No. Like, this team needs to. I was gonna say win the division, but then I realized Detroit's in the division. But this team needs to compete for the division and be in the playoffs. Like.
Until when do they need to compete?
Huh?
Until when do they need to compete?
Now!
No, I'm saying, let's say they mount a good run for the division. But on, like, week 15 or so, they are done for. Like, wouldn't you say that's, like, a good season?
Oh!
In the best division of football, that's not a good season. You are expecting way too much.
Are the Steelers going 9-8 every season but missing the playoffs? Most of them, good seasons. Yes or no? No, they're not.
Yeah.
No, they're not.
Wait. Haven't the Steelers always gone 9-8? Haven't they also missed the playoffs a lot of those times?
Yes. Those are not good seasons.
Well, yes. And I'm not saying it's a great season. And also, let's not even compare the divisions. Like, the Steelers have the butt of the NFL in that division for like years and years. Like, not really the case with the AFC North, unless you want to consider the Bears that team. And in this scenario, they're not going to be it. So it's going to be three very good teams and the Bears in there as well. So I feel like. If it was so terrible for the Steelers to finish 9-8 and miss the playoffs, they probably would have sent Tomlin packing by now. And I don't think they have, right? Like, as far as I know.
Probably should have. I am so tired of this accepting just above 500 and it being okay.
It's okay for that last year was terrible.
It is not okay to be in the middle of the pack. It is actually the worst possible thing you can be.
But if you are showing improvement and you moved on from last year, this year, and you showed very good improvement from one season to another, and you get another like 5 wins added to your win column, that's improvement. Like, teams don't go from like 4 wins to 12 wins in like out of nowhere. Like, that's usually not the norm. You need to see some sort of progression.
It's also usually not the norm.
Your first round QB, not your first overall draft pick QB, not being like a world beater or something like that. Sure.
Yes, not improving that much from your fucking number one overall quarterback from the year prior. Yes, if that's not normal.
If he gets 5 more wins, like that's an improvement, and his stats improve a lot. Isn't that an improvement? That's an improvement year over year. Like, that's what you want. Dude, you were okay with this, with like the Saints rolling out Derek Carr and staying in mediocrity for the rest of their lives. But now you're not okay with the Bears doing it. Okay, I see you.
Caleb Stan. Caleb Stan, my mitts.
Okay, so there was another thing that we want to talk about. There was a Travis Hunter discussion that we wanted to have, right? And since we talked about the Jags a bit before, let's talk about Trevor Lawrence's newest weapon. Travis Hunter. And you have a theory about Travis Hunter, or at least an hypothesis that you want to put out there in the world. So I'll leave you the floor.
Travis Hunter cannot be worth the number 2 overall pick.
Hey, time to explain to people why you think that.
So why do you draft Travis Hunter number 2, Alex?
I draft him because he was one of the best college football players. He played on both sides of the football while in college. And he showed improvement year over year over year over year. And he was a Heisman candidate. So he was maybe the best college player last year.
Who was the last two-way player in the NFL?
Oh, gee, Louise.
I'm pretty sure it was Deion.
Yeah, I was going to say Deion. And he wasn't even like full-time on both ends, was he?
No. No, he was not. And that's the point. You are not going to get the production you need to justify the selection. For either you're going to be sacrificing snaps out of a wide receiver or basically make him a gimmick wide receiver, or you're going to be limiting how many plays he has on DB. And not only that, like, college and the NFL is different. Defending a NFL wide receiver is a lot much more of a difficult task than a lot of college wide receivers. Would you not agree?
I would say so, because a lot of the wide receivers in college end up selling insurance.
So then that's the question. What are you going to sacrifice? And if you have to sacrifice that versatility, to what extent? And is it worth the number 2 overall pick at that point? Like,
my counter argument would be that you don't need him to do it on both sides for him to justify. Because you believe in him as a wide receiver.
The part-time wide receiver?
I mean, I'm looking at his tape and his numbers, and year over year, he has shown improvement. He's one of those players that has evolved this game year over year over year. Either it had been in Florida, I believe that's where they were before this, or Jackson. Wait, where? What college did like the Deion?
State and Colorado.
FS what? That didn't get the first name.
The first one is Jackson College. Jackson State College.
Yeah, that's it. So, like, either that had been in Jackson State College or even in Colorado. Like, yes, shown improvement year over year over year. So that's a good thing for me. And if you believe in his traits as a wide receiver, and right now that's all the talk that has been with the Jets, is that they're going to put him on offense at least to start. And he's going to play mostly offense in the first year at least, or until he's familiarized with the position.
Wait, time out. Where is he going to line up at wide receiver?
I don't know. You could put him either in the slot or outside. Why not put him in the slot?
Where is he in your pecking order?
He's going to form a nice little duo with Brian Thomas Jr. They play different ways, so...
So what you're saying is, you drafted a guy number two, who potentially, and more likely than not, is going to be your number two wide receiver, who can sometimes play DB. That's your number two pick.
What if you have two wide receiver ones?
Then you have you have Trevor Lawrence as a top quarterback in the NFL.
That would mean that Trevor Lawrence is actually good, which I'm still not sure if we know.
Yes, that's what that would mean. That's how you facilitate that kind of production, Alex.
Yeah, I'm just saying that even if they get that sort of production, or facilitate that production, as you said, I don't know if Trevor Lawrence is going to take advantage of all of that. Or if he's good enough to take advantage of all of that.
So, then you picked a wide receiver DB number two who has no chance to ascend to a top wide receiver. Or if he does he beat out Brian Thomas Jr.? Is he better than Brian Thomas Jr., Alex?
I think it's inside of the realm of possibilities, yeah.
That he's better than Brian Thomas Jr.
Yes.
Interesting.
I think that's why you drafted him. You drafted him because this dude could just be better than Brian Thomas Jr.
If you say so.
And if he is better than Brian Thomas Jr. and he works out as their second wide receiver one, let's put it like that. Or if he becomes their wide receiver one and Brian Thomas Jr. goes to wide receiver two, isn't that worth it of the second overall pick?
Maybe, maybe not. Like,
let's say he becomes a CeeDee Lamb.
Then yeah, that's worth it. But again, CeeDee Lamb, even in that context, CeeDee Lamb was taken at what, like 10, 11?
No, CeeDee Lamb was lower than that, I think. But still, like, the player that he becomes is worth that pick.
Sure.
Like, and you would never, and the draft class is just completely different. Like, this draft class wasn't that loaded. Like, there were two players that were for sure 1-2. So if you wanted him, you needed to get two. Or three, that is. Yes. They were sitting at five. They needed to move. Time was ticking.
Time was ticking.
I think it was a smart pick by them. Because they get a guy that... You get a guy that can work out at two different positions. Like, if he's not working out at one, you know that you can move him out to and try to work him out in the other position. And I think that's valuable. In and of himself, I think that's valuable. Because you get a guy that is versatile. Because you get... Basically, you get another shot at this guy. Because... You've tried him at wide receiver. If he is not great, then you can put him at cornerback. And now you basically gave him a second life. So I think it's smart in that sense as well. And it's smart because they got the best player in the draft. Like, for all intents and purposes, this guy was the best player in the draft. So he was the best college player last year. He was the best player in the draft. I mean, I think that's quite simple.
I think you have a lot more optimism than I do. A lot of this. I don't think the Jags should have traded up. I think the Browns understood they were in a situation where, like, they had to pick him, but the act of using him as his talent suggests is a lot more difficult than it sounds. And I just don't think it was a good time.
No, I think what they did was smart enough.
Smart enough?
Yeah, I think if they had sat at fifth, I think the quality of player they would have gotten was much lower than this. Because again, two players in this draft that you for sure want, none of them is called are called like what would have gotten in there, like Chanty or even the tackle that was talked about for a bit for them to draft, like the second best tackle in the draft. So I think it was a smart move, moving up, securing the guy that you believe in. And now you'll have a chance at using this guy to distant positions. And if it's a guy that you trust, I don't know how that's such a bad thing. So, and I definitely think he can just pay off his position. If he becomes the player that they think he's going to become, he doesn't need to play both positions.
But then, again, you put yourself in the situation, you drafted him for the gimmick, and you're hoping he develops to be an elite player on one end? Like, I think this is a scenario where I don't think it's very tenable for them to get what they put in.
I guess time will show us right now. Not a whole lot of point arguing. But I'm going to be on the right side on this one, I feel like.
We'll see.
I'm very positive on that. Because I believe in this guy as a player.
Should have drafted him in Dynasty then.
Well, I tried moving up. The trade I was trying to get, I believe it was for Ford, was to draft him, yeah.
You were trying to get before the draft. So are you... So then time out now, mister.
No. I was trying to get to 5 to get him.
So now time out, mister. I thought you said that Emeka Ibuka is your number one wide receiver in the class. Are you amending this?
No, I still think Emeka is going to be the best wide receiver in this draft class, but it's a JSN situation. You're drafting a guy that is going to devalue this year, and I don't think Travis Hunter will devalue this year, so I think it's much easier to draft Travis Hunter, bank the profit, trade for Ibuka next year, and just bank the difference that you're getting there, and then you get the guy that I think is going to be the best wide receiver in this draft class. Hey, you're playing checkers. I'm playing 3D chess, buddy.
You're playing 3D chess, and that's why you draft RJ Harvey.
See? RJ Harvey's going to be a very nice pick by me. You'll just see.
I just don't believe in the dude. I don't know.
I believe in Sean Payton.
That's a nice that's all I need. I also don't believe in the dude.
Okay, what else did we actually need to discuss? Because I don't know if it was anything else, was it? I don't know.
Nothing else.
Yeah, I think that was about what we set ourselves out to do.
Is there any team you want to talk about, or any team player post draft you want to talk about?
There could be a few. I will talk about a guy that my team drafted. I like the selection of Jalen Milroe in the 3rd round.
Mercy.
I feel like that's actually a very similar situation in which the Eagles drafted Jalen Hurts, for example. Mm-hmm. So from that standpoint, I think it makes sense that you bring in a rookie that is a very interesting physical profile that he has in terms of his athleticism and whatnot. And you bring that dude in with a, like, it was the 92nd pick, so it's not that big of a spend in terms of a pick. It's a relatively low leverage type of pick. And you grab that dude in, and all of a sudden you have a project in there, and you have a guy that could be developing. He's not like, not going to be starter ready anytime soon. But I like the idea of drafting this guy and having him wait in the wings, because it's a guy that I don't necessarily absolutely love, but I've seen how it works out to this leading to a long-time starter in the NFL, even if I don't like him as a player, and I don't think he's as good as people say, but it has worked out massively for the Eagles with Jalen Hurts. So I think we're following that blueprint with Jalen Milroe, and I'm on board with that, because I've seen it work before. So.
Are you saying Jalen Milroe might be this draft's Jalen Hurts?
I think the idea behind it is the same. Is you draft the hyper-athletic guy that comes from Bama, actually. Like, you know, Hurts. He went to Bama, then got to transfer, of course. He doesn't have the same accolades as Hurts had in college and the same stats and whatnot. But he was still a very solid college player. I think he was fairly good for Alabama. His arm is absolutely, like, ludicrous, but his accuracy is kind of shit. But yeah, this way, I sort of can get behind this. Like, you have a guy that is going to be the starter for the foreseeable future in the team, but you also have an out on this contract, like, next year. So it gives you time to look at Milroe, to assess Milroe, and I think I can get behind that decision. Like, it's much better to do that than to draft, like, a guy in the second round, like to draft the Tyler So or whatever his name is, or to move up to draft Jackson Dart, for example. I think Milroe in the third, I really like that pick from us.
Yeah, I think Milroe could also be a sneaky pick in Dynasty, too.
Hey, I have 3 late seconds for a reason right now. I'm waiting.
Alex, stop it.
I'm waiting.
You're waiting.
I want to see what it happens.
Ready to strike.
Yes. I could even take 2 QBs. Like, that has crossed my mind.
Oh, my God.
Because Jackson, like, if I get... Hey, it's a terrible draft class. I'm getting guys in the second round, late in the second round, which for most leagues is, like, late in the third round or in the middle of the third round. If I can get a guy that was drafted in, like, the first round, why not? And if I can get Jalen Milroe to sit on my bench for a bit, why not? I think Jalen Milroe even can be a guy that I draft in, like, the third round. Like, you drafted Mahomes, for example.
Yeah, I did draft Mahomes in the third round. I think I traded up to get him, actually.
Yeah, I think...
I traded up.
I think it could be something like that happens here.
That is the best feeling, friend. No first and.
I see how it goes. But yeah, that's the one player that I wanted to talk about. Is there any guy that you want to talk about before we sign out?
I'm good to sign out.
Okay. Well, guys, as always, hope you enjoyed the show. If you're listening to this on the Apple Podcast app, on the Spotify app, and whatnot, just make sure to leave us a like and subscribe. Leave us a 5-star review to the show as well. Make sure to turn on the auto downloads. That really helps out the show as well. And if you're listening to this on the YouTube, make sure to like, subscribe, leave a turn on the notifications, leave a comment as well. And yeah, as always, guys, talk to you next week.
See you guys. All right. 2